Do you have a child who has walked away from the faith, who has rejected Christ? Hang on, parents. You've come to the right place. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Joining Randy today is Sue Bolin, a speaker and writer for Probe Ministries, which is dedicated to helping teens and young adults grow in their faith. Our lines are open. 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kirk. You know, we call this the Intentional Living Center. But today, can I change the name just for today? I think it's more like a pain center today. Because if you have a child and they've walked away from the faith, that's about as painful as it gets, right? If you're a real follower of Christ, this is important to you. This is a core of who you are. And then all the investment of time and prayer and church and Sunday school and family, and now they have rejected the faith, it's painful. And Facebook, we're getting just inundated with people responding to the question, how would you advise or encourage a parent whose child has announced, I no longer want any part of God or faith? And maybe you're in the midst of that. We'd enjoy to have you come and be a part of it. And I'll tell you why this is important. I'll tell you why it's important. I was reading the Facebook comments coming in here, and here's one from Diana. She says, I'm sorry to read all these. I mean, there's just page after page of painful but very encouraging thoughts. But she said, it feels good to hear other people's story. And I think that's really why we're doing this. We want to hear your story and what you're learning. What would you say to someone who's going through this today? The phone number is 888-888-1717. We're live here in the studio in our pain center here today in Intentional Living to help reduce some of the pain and give you help. You know, Jesus in chapter 18 of Matthew was challenged by his disciples with a question, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And here's his answer, and I think this is sort of a core problem that we see why kids walk away from the faith. It says here, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That is a profound thought. And let's face it, we live in a scientific, materialistic world today. Kids are growing up and they're thinking, now you want me to revert and be childlike? You know, I'm on my own. You got the parents. You know, I'm getting smarter than everybody else, and I'm out there, and I want to be my own man, my own woman. And when we see the stats of young people walking away from church and from faith, it's staggering and painful. And I want to help you today, and Sue's going to be on here in a moment. I want to help you today see that there are some things that you can do, biblical things that are very practical, to reduce some of the pain that you're experiencing, because you know you can't control your kids. You're not the Holy Spirit, okay? Come on, you can't make them be what you want them to be, even though you'd like to. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But as Kurt mentioned, we've invited a guest to join us today. Sue Bolin is from Probe Ministries, and these folks, they do one thing, really, and that's to help equip young people in their faith, strengthen their faith, and also help families that are facing these kids who have objections to Christianity, to their Christian faith, to their upbringing. And so we thought Sue could be a help to you all today. Sue, welcome to the program.
I am delighted to be with you, Randy. Thank you.
You deal with families and you help young people face some of the objections they have to faith. We got parents listening, and the phone lines are getting busy already from people who want to join in. And what do you find as you work with young people? What are some of their objections? Why are they leaving the faith? Why are they walking away from what the family taught them?
Great question. I think the biggest reason, it's not just us, it's other ministries that have done research, is that students started having questions in middle school about faith, about the connection of faith and science, about walking out what it means to be a follower of Christ, about big issues like the problem of pain and evil and suffering. Why would a good God allow such things to go on? Mm-hmm. And they've got questions and they've got doubts and they didn't get answers. Part of that may be that the people who were ministering to them in their church or their parents, they didn't feel confident to ask them. They may not have liked the answers. A lot of kids, it wouldn't even occur to them to go to their own parents, and some they wouldn't. It wouldn't occur to them to go to their youth leaders. They're just going to go to Uncle Google, and they're going to look out there for answers. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible place to find truth. It's out there, but it's mixed in with a whole lot of lies. Mm-hmm.
So do you find today, Sue, that kids, more so than past generations, are challenged to walk away from their faith because of all the distractions in the culture?
That's part of it. I think that's the strategy, is the distractions in the culture, especially anything relating to a screen. You know, kids are addicted to their phones, and their entire lives are mediated through a screen, through especially a smartphone. But honestly, I think the bigger issue is what is behind those distractions, and that is the spiritual warfare. Mm. I truly believe that Satan knows that his days are limited, and he has pumped up the attacks on our youth, and the nastiness level has increased. And I think there is a vitriol and a meanness of coming after our kids to a degree that we may have never seen before in the history of the church.
You know, and I talk about whoever's most intentional for your kids is going to win. And boy, listen, parents, you can be very intentional with your kids, but we've got all around us internet influences, social media influences, music, entertainment, friends, all the things that they come into their lives. And some of these things are enormously intentional for your kids. And now more than ever, we have a choice. We can either have good intentions and lay back and have regrets later on, or we can even have the best of intentions and do lots of different things, but not being focused in the busyness of our life on those things that matter most. And so we want to be very, very helpful. If you just joined us, we're talking about what do you do when your child rejects Christ? They walk away from the faith of the family. And Sue Bolin is joining us today. She's from Probe Ministry. This is what these men and women do. They full-time are helping families and helping young people face some of the objections to Christianity in a way that's not only heart, but also head, heart and head. And so you're welcome to join us. What would you tell families going through this that you've been through or going through now or have a question for Sue? Phone number is 888-888-1717 is the phone number, 888-888-1717. We'd love to have you join in and be a part of the program with us here today. Sue, young people, you guys have conferences and things, I know, for college and high school students that come in. What kind of objections are they facing? I mean, what are they telling you that is a challenge for you to help answer today?
Well, I think it probably comes down to the second biggest reason why kids and young adults leave the faith, and that is that they don't know that Christianity is true to begin with. They're not receiving good teaching in worldview and apologetics that shows them why we can believe in the existence of God, why we can trust that the Bible is God's word, that it's a supernatural book, and it's true, and it's trustworthy, and the Bible we hold in our hands is actually consistent with what God gave us to begin with. Mm. And they don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is God and why he should be the only way. They don't know that. By the time they finish going through our week-long mind games camp, which is one of our favorite things to do all year, it's just a total immersion experience in worldview and mainly apologetics with a whole lot of fun and fellowship and relationship thrown in the mix. By the time they get to the end of that week, their confidence is greatly enhanced and deepened that, yeah, Christianity is true, and that's why I'm going to stick with it. And over the years, I believe that the majority of those that come to our Mind Games conference really do stay with their faith. Mm. So they need to know why Christianity is true, because they're getting all kinds of messages that it's not.
Oop, sorry about that.
One,
Hang on for just a minute, Sue. I pushed the wrong button, but I want to take a quick break. I want to come back and pick up right at that point. We've got some callers standing by that want to join in. We're talking with Sue Boland from Probe Ministries, and the focus here is the pain that you feel as a parent or grandparent when you see a son or daughter or grandchild walk away from the faith. You know, because you've experienced God in your life, and you know He's real. And I know it's by faith, the Scripture tells us. And we live in a very materialistic culture today where if I can't touch it, if I can't smell it, if I can't measure it, it's probably not true. And yet, the reality is all of us every day live by faith in some areas of our life. And this area is no exception. Either God is there, He's real. Either Jesus has come and given Himself for us or He didn't. He was either who He was, said He was, or He was a maniac. I mean, there's really no other option. Someone coming claiming to be God and dying for that is... you know, that's not a sensible thing to do unless that's actually who you are and who He was. And so by faith, those of us who accept that and it dictates and drives the way we live our lives, when we have children who grow up and take a different path, we love them, but we're not thrilled about the path they're taking. We'll come back, take some calls standing by. You're welcome to join us. What have you learned as a parent going through this? What's a question that you have today about a son or daughter? 888-888-1717.
My name is Kathy. I have a daughter who is now 30. When she was 26, she was talking to me and she said she no longer believes in God because of the bad things that happen to people. And I asked her if there was anything I could say that would change her mind, and she said no. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, well, if you still believe, then yes, you can. And I told her that I was convicted of my faith. And we talked about it for a while, and she asked me where she would go if she were laying on her deathbed right now, and I were talking to her, and I told her she would go to hell. And here's the thing that impressed me most. She thanked me for being honest with her, because she said most of the Christian friends that she had, when she told them that she no longer believed in God, they all said, well, you know, maybe you won't go to hell because God knows your heart and He's the only one that does and He's the only one that can judge. She thanked me for being honest with her. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I leave it in God's hands. He knows everything that's going to happen to everybody in their life throughout their entire life. So He knows if she's going to come back to Him or not. But every day, out loud in the morning, I do pray that He fills her heart with the Holy Spirit and pulls her back to Him. It saddens me, it frightens me, but I leave it in God's hands, and we do talk about faith. She just informs me she still doesn't believe. And that's my story. Bye.
One of these days we all will stand in judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord, give a reason for everything.
You know, if you have a child or a grandchild or a young person that you know and love and care for that has rejected Christ, that's a painful experience. And here, I would say this, it's not over yet. You know, don't count it out until it's out. And so time every day is an opportunity to keep praying that God will move in the heart of this young person. We invited Sue Boland to join us today. She's from Probe Ministry, and this is what these guys do, is help families and help young people face some of the objections they have to Christianity in a very tough time to do that. This is not an easy culture to do that in with all the distractions. So we appreciate Sue and their work at Probe Ministries. We've got some callers ready to join in here. Sue, let's get Victoria on the line in Arizona. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I love your program. I love your faith in the Lord. Thank you very much.
You're very well. Well, we're pleased to do it. Thank you. What have you learned? But you going through this?
Oh yeah, and still going through it. My son is 10 years this June in the Navy, and just before high school, he said he wasn't a believer anymore. I taught my kids that they are their own persons, and they were going to grow up to be their own persons. And my son decided. We sat and talked about it, and I said, in my house, we shall serve the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, just respect the house. And it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was very hard. I've been praying for him through all my brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church I attend, and I've been there 12 years. We all started together, me and my kids. Walking the walk, and my son still today does not want to believe, and he's very angry at the Lord. Mm. I say it's okay. It hurts very much, and I cry a lot, but I cry alone and never in public. I always share the love of the Lord with everybody. Everybody goes, oh my God, it doesn't even look like you have children. Yes, I do, but they're borrowed from the Lord. They belong to Him.
I think you said something, Victoria, I want Sue to comment on, and that is this idea, my son is really angry at the Lord, and I think sometimes kids get hurt. Obviously, they get hurt, parents get divorced, or there's a death, or there's any number of things that don't work out, and if you view God as a genie in the bottle, you know, just rub, or if I just pray, I get whatever I want, and that's not reality. We know that biblically that's not reality. But how do we... Yeah, how do we help kids get over that, Sue?
Well, that's exactly what jumped out at me as well. And Victoria, I am so very sorry for the pain that you are experiencing, not just as a mom, but as his sister in Christ. Because when one part of the body denies that they're a part of the body, the rest of the body is going to hurt. And so you said something extremely significant about him being angry at God, and so when somebody says, fine, I'll show you God, I'm not going to believe in you anymore, the reality is they haven't stopped believing, they're just angry, and so much of that comes down to, I don't understand why you let me hurt, why you let bad things happen. This is honestly the number one objection that people have to either coming to faith or to coming back to faith, is the problem of pain and evil and suffering. Yeah. And it's so hard to help them see, and it that needs to be the Holy Spirit, that the very thing that makes them able to choose to stiff arm God and say, I don't believe in you anymore, that's a choice that God gives us. And that choice is what makes it possible for us to say yes to him as well as to say no to him. And that ability to choose to say no is at the core of why God allows evil and pain and suffering, so that our choices mean something and our love means something when we respond to him. That's the core of the issue right there. I just really want to encourage you, there is nothing like wearing out your knees in prayer. That's what makes the biggest difference, no matter how long it takes, because there will come a time when, you know, he's not going to be able to deny the fact that he knows God is there. He doesn't like what God did. And basically what you're dealing with is somebody with spiritual cataracts. Cataracts don't come one morning you wake up and suddenly you're not able to see clearly anymore. It happens slowly, day by day. And only a surgeon can slice physical cataracts off our eyes, and only God can slice spiritual cataracts off the eyes of the heart.
And I would add to that, Sue, that when you think about one thing, because we're all about God's intentional love, what do you do? And you mentioned about love, and I was thinking of what John said in 1 John 4:7-8. He said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Then he goes on to say, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And when your kids reject, like your take on this, Sue, when our kids reject faith, we can take it personal, right? I mean, that's important to us, and they're rejecting something important to us. Come on now. Sometimes it's not about them, it's about us. And I think it can't be about us. And this love has to continue to flow. And if you've got a son or daughter that's been hurt in life, hurt in family, hurt in church, whatever, to be able just to love them and care for them and hug them and pray for them. And remember, this is important. We say this in marriage as well. You're not the Holy Spirit of God. You're not the one that's going to jump in and get them saved or to have them come back to Christ. That's something the Holy Spirit has to do in their life. But as parents, really, truly giving our children to God, praying for them, but then loving them. That's what the Bible commands. In fact, so much so, we're told that if we don't do that, there's evidence we're not a Christian ourselves. It's a Christian foundational principle in our families. All right, hang on, Sue. I want you to comment on that in a moment. We're talking about the pain associated with a child who walks away from faith. Here at the Intentional Living Center, our mission is to help you experience God's intentional love, and you're sharing some one things that have made a difference. Maybe you have one thing that you'd like to have us pray about. You're welcome to tell us what that is so we can pray with you on our comment line, 888-888-1717, or come to our website, theintentionallife.com, and hit on the broadcast highlights. We'll be right back with Sue Moore on this topic, helping you as a family to be intentional. And if you look at Scripture, even from the book of Genesis, we see God starting to make promises to us. You look at after the flood, God says, I will put a rainbow in the sky as a promise that I will never flood the earth again. He's kept that promise. And if you go to the end of the Bible, to the book of Revelation, the second verse from the end of the Bible is a promise in Revelation 22:20, where it says, Jesus says, surely I will come quickly. See? So we have promises from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation. And if you start reading, you'll see that there are dozens and dozens and dozens of powerful promises of God in Scripture.
That's an excerpt from this month's teaching for members only. We wish we could send the CD teaching to everybody. We can't. But for members, those who step up and say, we just choose to support the ministry, we look at intentional living as a valuable ministry and want to be a part of it, and we appreciate how it's impacting our lives. You all have received the teaching this month. At least you should. We did in our home. And if you're not a member, you can join today. And this is a very special month. This has been a personal spiritual growth month. We're making available the Intentional Word Bible, our most requested resource. It's the entire Bible, all 66 books in chronological order. And it's our gift to you when you join us in monthly support, $1 a day. That would be $30 every month. Or if you can share a single gift of $150 or more, I want you to know every dollar is going into impacting more people for Christ, allowing the radio program to continue. And then we get to come alongside of you with our monthly teaching, along with the Intentional Word Bible and the One Thing wristband. And by the way, the teaching this month is on how to make promises, to be a promise maker. Next month, how to turn your work from a career or a job into a calling and really understand the purpose of work. And then I thought in May, I wanted to talk about a very important topic in our culture today, and it's anxiety. Anxiety is something that affects many, many people. And to talk about what the Scripture teaches, to give you some really practical help biblically on how to be intentional when you're dealing with anxiety. And that's coming up in the month of May. Again, you can join today. We have operators standing by right now. Just call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or you can go online and join today by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on the donate button, okay? By the way, coming up tomorrow, I'm really interested in the topic. It's how to get out of our own way. Sometimes we step on our own feet, and that's what we'll be talking about. But don't go away now. We got more coming your way right here from Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Okay, Sue Boland's joining me today. She's from Probe Ministry. They work with young people, helping strengthen their faith and overcome some of the objections to faith. And right on target when we're talking today about kids who walk away from faith. And Sue, we only have about two or three minutes left. Can you give me some one things that parents can do to express that kind of love to their kids? Because we know that's what we're to do. What are one or two, three things that a parent can do starting now and over the days ahead that would be very practical with a child who's rejected faith?
Well, if the child has expressed their hurt or anger toward God for something that happened, you can acknowledge it and let them know that you are so very sorry that they are carrying a wound in their heart, and assure them that you can't fix it, but you sure do love them, and you're sorry that they experienced that, so that they're not feeling like they're off in a vacuum somewhere. Another thing that you can do is not constantly bring it up, trying to cram mm-hmm. your right. religion down their throat, which is how they're going to perceive it, but to have as full a relationship in all the other areas of your life, of their life, that you possibly can, to be as affirming and encouraging about the person that they are and the things that they do and what you appreciate about how God made them, their design and the wonderfulness of who they are, just pouring affirmation into them. Just remembering that love looks like three A's: attention, affection, and affirmation. All of us are born with that need for those three A's from both our parents. Mm. And so pouring those three A's into our kids. And then the third thing is, for right now, this is not the end of the story. Your child is building a testimony, and this is still the middle of the story. Be faithful in the middle of their story, because the story's not over yet.
That's right. But our program is, but I'll tell you what, we're going to be praying for you as a parent. And if we can, let us know. And I want to thank Sue Boland from Probe Ministries for joining me. We'll be praying for you, parents. Listen, there's a lot of activity going on Facebook at our site with this. Come and join the discussion. As one mentioned, just hearing the stories of others has been very encouraging. We'll see you tomorrow here at Intentional Living.